Sister Amy, Sister Dawn for our music for our service today. Brother Will, another good job. I love the variety of song selections he gives us each week. Is there a word on anyone's heart, maybe a testimony or anything before we get to the word? We're going to be reading out of the book of Colossians this morning, right after the book of Philippians and right before 1 Thessalonians. Give you a little benchmark there. Any word at all on anyone's heart? Amen. Me too. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I can say it is well with my soul. And that I have such a good feeling when we sing that song, because I know that it is well with my soul. And if you're here this morning and you can't make that claim, if the Lord impresses your heart and you'll seek Him, you can leave here today saying, it's well with my soul. Anyone else before I begin my reading? Desire your prayers as always. Colossians chapter 1 is where I want to begin my reading. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. And this is what we find recorded. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day that ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us our love in the Spirit. And I'm going to stop with those few verses. I'm going to take a text from the Psalm, the 31st Psalm and the 24th verse, Psalm 31 and verse 24. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that have hope in the Lord. My thought or my title this morning is simply, Jesus Christ, our only hope. Now, when we think of the word hope, and that's my message, I want you to hear the hope that's in my message this morning. But when we hear the word hope, hope is a feeling that what is wanted or what is desired will happen. It is a desire accompanied by expectation. And we see that all around us. You know, I see that every time I go into a gas station, and it kind of annoys me a little bit, I'll just be honest, because I just want to get in, get what I want, and get out. And typically, there's somebody in there, and you've been there, and they've got the lottery machine over here, and then they've got this encasement with all these different kinds of lottery tickets, and they stand there what seems like for eternity to me, and they'll say, give me one of those, and give me one of these, and give me one of those over here, and this over here, and they go on and on and on. And I got to tell you, I am amazed at the amount of money that people are spending on this with the hope that they are going to be a winner. And people are lured in by the possibility. You know, they have the hope. We've got these mega drawings now that they have where, you know, they're getting up to be $1 billion that people are hopeful that they might have an opportunity to win. And I wonder if they ever really stop and think about the statistics. You know, you want to win that mega lottery? Well, you got a chance. 1 in 300 million chances that you're going to win. And instead of people saying, you know what, I am not going to waste my money on that kind of thing, they sit there and say, so you're saying there's a chance, you know? And then we see hope again, you know? Anybody ever heard of Publishers Clearing House? You know, people got houses full of magazines arriving in the mail every day because they're hoping that Publishers Clearing House little bus or caravan thing is going to pull up to their house and they're going to be the grand winner. Well, again, you got a chance. One in 6.2 billion, with a B, billion. One in 6.2 billion chances that by buying those magazines that you're going to be the big winner. I'll tell you this morning, I can't really speak to that because I've never bought a lottery ticket. I think you have to buy one to be able to have a chance at winning. I'm not a believer in that. But I'm going to tell you a secret that I have learned. During the course of my life, I have learned that the road to Easy Street is paved by hard work. You want to get somewhere in this life, you're going to have to work hard. There's no way around that. And much of what people hope for in this life, I'll just be honest with you, it never materializes. Some of the things that people hope for doesn't materialize. And the reason for that is because their hope is misplaced. They're not placing their hope in the right place. And as I've already said this morning, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. And the statement or the claim that Jesus Christ is the only hope, I know this morning that that is a bold claim. Because in making the claim that Jesus Christ is our only hope, what happens? It eliminates all the hope in all of those other things. And, you know, this hope that I'm talking about this morning, it's a timeless claim. It's a claim that has been delivered, and it's a claim that has been believed down through the centuries. It is a very serious claim, and it's not one to be taken lightly. It's serious because to believe it is to accept certain responsibilities. Now, the Scriptures proclaim to us that Jesus is the only hope for salvation. We heard wonderful sermons in revival this past week professing that and proclaiming that to us. And as was said, it's not any clearer. It's not any clearer than John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus professed himself to be the way. I am. There's no question about it. He says, I am the way. And he professed to be the truth. And he professed to be the life. And he concluded that by saying, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if we want a relationship that's been separated from the Father because of sin, if we want to be reconciled back to him or brought back into a relationship with him, the Scripture is very clear that there's no other way but by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only hope. Now, I've shared this before. My grandfather, he was a coal miner in Virginia. That was the business in Pennington Gap, Virginia. His house sat up on a hill, and there's a long driveway, and then there was a bridge that went over the creek. And you could sit on his porch, and those coal trucks would just up and down the highway all day, all night. And he worked in the coal mines, and when we would go there from Michigan on our vacation, we'd go down about the time that he was supposed to come home from work, and we'd stand at the bridge so that when he came home, we could open the gate. There was a gate that had to be opened. And he'd pull that pickup truck of his up to the gate, and we couldn't get in the truck with him because it was full of coal dust. And he was covered in coal dust from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and all you could see was the whites of his eyes. So we'd hang on to the running board and onto the mirror, and he would drive us up there. And I've heard many stories from him about the life of a coal miner in his day, and I have a lot of respect for the work that they did and the dangers that they were confronted with in that profession. And you know, I read an article about a mine shaft collapse, and in that collapse there were miners that were back in the mine, and well, the rubble, they were trapped And immediately, of course, we've seen that many times over the years. And immediately, there are rescue teams that are organized, and they begin to immediately try to dig out or get to those trapped miners before their air supply runs out. And as they were clearing the rock and they were getting closer and closer to where the miners was, one of the guys said, "Hold on a minute, wait a minute." And they stopped and they could hear a tapping. And there was somebody that was tapping on the stone. And one of those guys said, "I recognize that." He said, "That's Morse code." And the individual on the other side, the trapped miner, he was in there and he was tapping out. "Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for salvation?" And in the context of what he was saying here, they were trapped inside this mine and they wanted to know if there was any hope of being saved from the situation that they were in. Was there any hope of being rescued? Was there any hope that they would not die trapped in that mine with the air running out before they were able to get to them? Now, this week in revival, I believe it was Brother Gulledge who mentioned John chapter 16, and he talked about the Philippian jailer, or the jailer that was there, who really wanted to know the same thing that these trapped miners wanted to know. He wanted to know, is there any hope? He wanted to know, is there any salvation? Because we have record that he asked Paul and Silas, and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was looking for rescue, except his rescue wasn't a physical rescue. He was looking for a spiritual rescue. From what? He was looking for a rescue from death, and he was looking for a rescue from sin, and he was looking for a rescue from eternal destruction. Paul and Silas told him where to find his hope, told them where to find the rescue. And in verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If unsaved this morning, you need this rescue. You need this rescue from the penalty of sin. You need, just like they, as this man did, you need rescue from eternal separation from God with no hope. You need rescue from spending eternity in hell separated apart from God. And I want you to notice that Paul and Silas didn't give this jailer many ways to be rescued. He didn't say, "Well, you could try this." He didn't say, "You could try that or do this." Didn't give them many ways in which to be saved. They said there was only one way in which to be saved. And it's the same today. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you, and you can be saved. I don't want any misunderstanding this morning. Jesus Christ is the only hope for salvation. He is the only hope for salvation. And mankind is in desperate need of this hope. And it's not just a select few. All of mankind needs this hope. No one is without this need if they want to escape a life of no hope, now and eternally. The Bible tells us that without Christ, people have no hope, and they're without God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and 12, I can prove that to you. It says, "And at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise," listen to this, "having no hope and without God in the world." The unsaved, they are spiritually lost. And here's the thing I think a lot of them don't understand. You're condemned already. It's not that you're going to be condemned one day when you stand before the Lord. You are condemned already. The chapter of John, verse 3 and 18, Jesus said, "He that believeth in him," meaning in Jesus Christ, "he that believeth in him is not condemned." But listen to the second part of it. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, Not that you're going to be, but you are condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If unsaved this morning, listen, no matter how much you try to protect yourself by trusting, by putting the trust that you have in yourself, no matter how much trust that you have in yourself, no matter how much trust you put in the good works or the good deeds that you might do, no matter how much trust that you put in the intellect that you have or any money that you might have, only God can save you from the one thing that you really need to fear, and that's eternal condemnation. And if you don't know what that word means, it's eternal judgment of God. If you aren't saved this morning, it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old. It don't matter if you're 20 years old. It don't matter if you're 90 years old today. You are already, according to the Word of God, you are already condemned. You are already sentenced. You are already judged and doomed. You are spiritually trapped in sin. Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 9 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. And he asked the question, he said, who can know it? The heart of man has been inclined towards sin from the time that we are born. And when I say the heart of man, I'm talking about the heart of man, woman, boy, child. Our hearts from the time that we are born are inclined towards sin. And out of the human heart proceeds all types of sin. You know, I believe it's over in 1 John chapter 1, and I'm paraphrasing, but said, you know, let me just turn over there and read it, better than paraphrasing. First John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we got to see ourselves as we truly are, and we've got to understand that from the time that we're born into this life, we have a sinful nature about us. And now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, he says, for out of the heart, he said, proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceeds murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witnesses and blasphemies. Listen, what he's saying is the human heart of a human being, that's our nature to sin. It's our nature to rebel against God and to rebel against spiritual authority. And the agonizing result of sin, if we don't do anything about that, the Bible tells us it's death. The wages of sin is death. I want you to keep my sermon title in the back of your mind as I'm sharing from God's Word this morning. Jesus Christ, our only hope. Our only hope. As with the jailer that I mentioned, hope was offered, but that hope that was offered through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. There's no other person. There's no other man. There's no other policy. There's no other thing that can save other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the only Savior. And I don't want anybody to be confused this morning. If you're a child here this morning that has reached the age of accountability and you know that you're lost, I want you to understand that your salvation is not in your parents' faith. Because mom and dad profess to be Christians doesn't make you a Christian without an experience of salvation. I want you to understand that religious rituals don't make you a Christian, don't make you saved. If you come here every single Sunday, or if you come here every single service that we have, I'll be so happy to see you. But that doesn't make you saved by going through the motions of worship. I want us to understand that you can come forward and join the church and you can be baptized. But if you don't have a true experience of salvation, That doesn't make you saved by being baptized in the baptistry that's behind me. I want you to be a good person. I want you to live a good moral life. But living a good moral life doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't mean that you're saved. What I want you to hear when I say Jesus Christ, our only hope, I want you to understand this morning that salvation is in and through a person. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it tells us that neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other. It says, for there is none other name given under heaven. Let me reread that. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. No other name, no other person, no other thing. Jesus is God's provision for our salvation. And I want to share some scriptures with you because the scripture says it way better than I could ever say it. Because it is the truth of God's word. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it tells us that this is a faithful saying. This is a true statement. This is a true saying. And the Bible says it's worthy of all acceptation. In other words, we should receive this. And what it says is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus is God's provision for salvation. Paul gives us the facts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm not going to turn over there and read all these, but I'd encourage you to read that chapter. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives us the facts. And the first fact that he gives us is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's the first fact he gives us. The second fact he gives us is that he was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. The third fact that he gives us in that chapter is he says that there were eyewitnesses to what I'm telling you. If you don't believe it because I'm telling you it, there were eyewitnesses to this occurrence. He said he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. And then he was seen by above 500. And then he gives us the fourth fact. There was one gospel that was to be preached and one gospel to be believed. And he said, so we preached, and so ye believed. Verse 11. And those that believed, the Bible gives us record that they received the gift of God. Now, I use that expression a lot, and I suppose a lot of others do too. I hope you understand when we talk about receiving the gift of God, we're talking about salvation. The gift of God, the Bible says, is eternal life through our only hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful today that I'm a partaker of that. I'm so thankful that when the Lord saved me, I realized that He was my only hope. I realized that as much as my mother and father loved me, they couldn't save me. All they could do was expose me to the gospel message. How did they do that? They made sure I was in Sunday school on Sunday morning, where I could hear the teachers teach about Jesus and about the plan of salvation and how it was important to know Him. They made sure that I was in worship service and awake so that I could hear the message of truth. And as many opportunities as was available, they made sure of that. On Sunday nights, we prepared for church on Sunday. You know, I don't know how it is at your house or today, how people are today, but I mean, it was a ritual on Sunday night that we got together and we polished our shoes. We had to get the shoe polish out. We had to polish up our shoes so they were good and shiny. And then we had to read our Sunday school lessons. And we had to come, and Mom or dad would ask us, what was your Sunday school lesson about? They want to make sure we just didn't say we read it, that we actually read it. They were preparing us to receive the gospel so that we could come to the understanding and knowledge that Jesus Christ, our only hope. And I am thankful that they did that. Jesus is our risen Savior. The Bible tells us that He ascended to heaven and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession, or He's mediating for all those that call upon Him, that they might be the recipient of this gift. Remember, kids, the gift? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible's clear. Jesus Christ, our only hope. What did the Bible say? There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, He is our only hope. If unsaved this morning, you may be wondering, what do I do? You may be wondering this morning, well, preacher, I'm hearing what you're saying, but how do I respond? How do I respond to this gospel? I can tell you this morning, if you know that you're lost, we use the word lost, we use the word unsaved, it's all the same thing. It means that you're separated from God and you need to be brought back into a fellowship with Him. Sin blocks that relationship. God can't have fellowship with sinners. We need to be brought back into fellowship with Him. And if you know that you're in that condition this morning, and if you are convicted, if you're burdened, if you're troubled about that relationship in your heart, having heard that only Jesus is our hope, and having heard the hope that we find in the gospel, which is Jesus, well, you need to believe in Him. You need to make an altar. The Bible is clear that you need to acknowledge the truth about Christ. You need to accept the facts of His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and you need to trust yourself to Him in a personal surrender to Him through a repentant heart. I use that a lot. I say a repentant heart of faith. What is that? It's a heart that is seeking forgiveness. That's what repentance is. It's getting forgiveness. Well, what do we want forgiveness for? We want to get forgiveness for this sinful nature that we have. How we want to be reconciled or brought back into a relationship with God that was severed because of sin. And we need to do it with faith. Faith in what? Faith in our only hope, which is Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have faith in Him. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 12. John wrote, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that did what? Believed on His name." In other words, those that were saved. In Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus gives an invitation. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Come unto me. Who? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Well, why does He want us to come unto Him? Because He says, "I will give you rest." If you're burdened this morning, if you're troubled in heart, Jesus is saying, "Come unto me." And if you'll come unto Him with that repentant heart of faith, He says, "I will give you rest." What does that mean? It means He'll take that burden that you have away. He'll save your soul. And there will be a joy because you have been set free from the bondage of sin, and a joy because you will no longer suffer the condemnation and the consequences of sin, because you'll be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have a peace and a joy within your heart. I can tell you this morning, there is no hope for eternity apart from Jesus. No hope for eternity apart from Jesus. The hope of Jesus is eternal certainty. It points beyond the life here and now to what comes after this life. But as I've said to you many times, I'm thankful for being saved. this is March. Next month, I'm going to be 65 years old. I was saved at 9 years old. I haven't been troubled about my soul and where I'm going to spend eternity in all of those years. I am safe and secure in Jesus because what Jesus did once on the cross was sufficient for all of eternity when I put my faith and I put my trust in Him. My reading in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5 speaks of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. What is your hope? I'll tell you what my hope is. My hope is that of Jesus' return. My hope, as I read through God's word, He has personally promised, John 14 and verse 3, and if I go, we know that Jesus went, right? He died on the cross, He was buried, He arose again, He ministered for so many days, and then the Bible says He ascended, right? And He says, if I go, which He did, sitting at the right hand of the Father, like I told you, He said, and prepare a place for you, here's the part I love, He said, I will come again. He's coming again. And He said, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm already safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes, I'm going to where He's at. And I'm going to spend eternity there with Him. That's what the angels announced, you know, when Jesus ascended up into glory. The disciples that were gathered around there, He said, ye men of Galilee, He said, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? He said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, He said, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. They knew a long time ago that He was coming back. And we continue to preach the return of Jesus. Why? Because they continued to preach it. That's what Paul did when he was speaking to the Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He said, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen this morning. Jesus is personally coming again. He's coming powerfully. He's coming suddenly. He's coming. This is not only hope. This is the promise of God. I'm not hoping that the Lord comes back. I know the Lord is coming back. The only thing I don't know is the exact time that He's coming back. That's why in His word He instructed me and He instructed all of God's people to do what? What are we supposed to be doing? Is anybody watching? He said to watch. Watch for His coming. Don't just sit and do nothing. Carry out the gospel. But watch for His coming. Jesus gave us great hope of the resurrection. I'm going to close shortly. If you want to turn over to 2 Timothy with me, chapter 1, I want to read a few verses. I want you to see here that Jesus gave us the hope of the resurrection because Jesus abolished death and the grave. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, Paul said, be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Ooh, afflictions. Who wants those? Well, if we're doing what God wants us to do, we're going to suffer some afflictions. But He said, according to the power of God, who did what? Who hath saved us and called us by a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, His purpose and grace, which was given us where? In our only hope, in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And the resurrection of the saints is promised to us as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as death is not the end of a believer. We know that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that is simply because Jesus is our hope. And brothers and sisters, the hope of Jesus Christ is deliverance from judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Jesus Christ bore our judgment on the cross. And although death is certain in Christ, those of us that are saved, we don't have to fear, because the Bible says we have passed from death unto life. And bringing my message to a close this morning, I hope the message this morning has been received. Jesus Christ, our only hope. What a bold but yet wonderful claim. I wonder this morning, do you believe it? Do you believe what I'm telling you this morning, that Jesus Christ is our only hope? As Christians, we need to proclaim it. As Christians, we need to share it. As Christians, we need to testify of it everywhere that we have opportunity. There may be someone among us this morning that is without hope. Most likely there is. With a congregation this big, most likely there is some, maybe more than one amongst us this morning, that is without hope. But I want you to know this morning, if you listen to my message, then you heard that you can find your hope this morning in Jesus Christ. You can experience it in the salvation that He can provide, and you can live in hope if you'll just come to Him with that burden, convicted heart, and will repent or ask for forgiveness of sin, trusting through faith that Jesus is who He says He is. That Jesus did what He said He did. And that Jesus will do what He said that He will do. I want to have an invitation this morning, but I want to do something a little bit different. Will, I'm going to do something a little bit different on you if possible. I'm sorry, but I would, Sister Connie and I think Sister Lisa, they sing a song that says, "All my hope is in Jesus." And I want to end my message that way. If they'll come and they'll sing that song, "All my hope is in Jesus." I can tell you that this morning. I have lived my life with my hope in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that I haven't been hopeful about other things, you know. When I asked Dawn out for a date the first time, I was hopeful. I had expectation that she would say yes. Well, I was wrong. She said no. Go figure. So not everything that I hoped for came to pass, but thank the Lord she later came to her senses and understood what an opportunity that was being offered unto her. But I'll tell you what, my faith has never been let down in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my hopes in the Lord Jesus has come to fruition because He is the author of hope. If you're here this morning and unsaved, we've heard wonderful messages all week long. Some of you were here, some of you heard them. I don't know why you didn't seek the Lord during those services. If you understood your condition with the Lord, if you understood the danger of rejecting Him, and if you understood the blessing of trusting in Him, those services are gone. Those days are behind us. But today we got another opportunity. The Lord has given another opportunity this morning for you to come to Him if you'll just realize that Jesus Christ, our only hope. Sisters, let's stand together. It's easier to stand because if there's a lost person near you, they won't have to crawl over you. You can let them out. If you know the song, sing it with them. I'm sure they wouldn't care. Where's your hope this morning? Is it in the things of the world, or is it in Jesus?
Savior, I fell.
needs to come this
prodigal
morning.
Return.
Now's a good time to step out. Now's a good time to come and bow.
All my hope is in Jesus.
Sacrifice on the cross of Calvary was to it took the shed blood of our Savior to bring about remission or forgiveness of sin. I tell you what, this morning, if you're unsaved, I pray that the message of God is speaking to your heart, and it's making progress. Apparently, it hasn't got to the place yet, as I said in the song, where it'll bring you to your knees. But I tell you what, when that conviction gets strong enough, it'll bring you to your knees. Did me. And when I got to the place where I was willing to surrender to the Lord, you know, I've said this many times, you can't dictate to God where and when. You know, you may be standing there saying, you know what, I don't want to go up in front of all these people and bow on an altar. Just save me at home next to my bed. The Lord can, if that's his desire, and if you're burdened and convicted there. But if you're burdened and convicted here, this is when he's near. You know, the best time to seek the Lord is when he's near. I'm going to be praying for you that the Lord will extend his mercy and grace to you and give you a little bit more time. Any word on anyone's heart, maybe a testimony or encouragement before we conclude our service today?